Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Chronic Fatigue and Burnout Recovery Podcast. Today I have a wonderful guest interview for you with Harry Leeming. Harry is the founder of the Visible app, which is an activity tracking app for people with long COVID or fatigue conditions like chronic fatigue syndrome. It harnesses the power of heart rate variability to help people with these conditions track their activities better. Harry was once, like many of us, a young, healthy human being working in Formula One with a background in engineering. And then after a COVID infection, he found himself very unwell. He started to track his own heart rate and started to notice some correlations in his results and various things he was doing throughout the day. But when he searched for an activity tracking app for chronic illness specifically, he was left wanting. So the Visible app was born. He has been doing amazing work in the community to offer both a free service and a paid service to people who want to be able to use data to empower them to track their activity levels and pace better as they navigate their chronic illness. This episode is a piggyback off of the previous episode, which I did on heart rate variability and using heart rate variability in your chronic illness recovery. So if you haven't already listened to the previous episode and you need a little bit more of an understanding about what heart rate variability is, I highly recommend that you listen to that episode. But you definitely want to listen to this episode with Harry, as well as download the Visible app for free and start having a play with it and start using it as you navigate your own chronic illness experience. Please enjoy this episode. I just have to say that we had a few little internet glitches, so there are a few moments where the audio cuts out, but for the most part, it will still be a fantastic listen. So Harry, welcome to the podcast, and I'm really looking forward to talking with you today. And I'd love for you to just start off by sharing a little bit about yourself, although I'm going to ask you about your whole story in a moment, but just talk a little bit about why you're here and what Visible is.
Yeah, so I used to be a sort of fit and healthy 29-year-old and was exercising, you know, enjoying life. And I think maybe a similar story to maybe many of your listeners. I got a COVID infection in September 2020. That has now landed me with over 3 years worth of symptoms. And during that time, came across this almost underworld of chronic illness and was shocked at how little support there was, like, for me, and treatment there was for me. And then I think, you know, really dawning on me as I dove into the research that, you know, my story is not new. There's millions of people like me who've struggled to be taken seriously, to get the support and treatment that they so badly need for these conditions that's like have such a massive impact on quality of life. And so started Visible really with a view to, as my view on how to have the biggest impact in this area and to help people to measure and manage their condition. And I can speak about how we landed on using wearable technology to do that. But really that was the motivating factor from us. So very much coming into this with, you know, an idea of like, how can we have the biggest impact? How can we move the science forwards?
Yeah. And just completely backing up for someone who's like, what's Visible? Where would you even begin to start to explain what it is and what you guys do?
Sure. So we use wearable technology and we apply it to illness rather than fitness. So if you think about your Fitbits, your Garmins, they're all designed for healthy people, for workouts, for exercise. And really, there's nothing out there that is designed with chronic illness in mind, with rest and pacing in mind. So that's what we do, first and foremost. We talk about measurement and management. And actually, with wearable technology, we can do both, which is super exciting. So on the management side, we can help with pacing, so real-time notifications on when to slow down. And we can help see over long periods of time, like, are you getting better? What medication, what treatments are making you better? What's making you worse? So you can better manage that. And then on like the measurement side, because we're building this incredible data set from people using, just using Visible every single day, we're able to pull out or build algorithms that can determine how sick you are. You know, we don't have good like for a lot of these conditions, good diagnostic tests, good blood tests for them. But actually, your wearable data, you can see that there is something wrong through it. And so we use that in what we call a digital biomarker.
Yeah. And so I guess what you're saying is with the wearable technology is we have another way of assessing some sort of imbalance or dis-ease, so to speak, in the body. You're using heart rate variability tracking and heart rate tracking specifically in the app, if I understand correctly?
Yes. So we use those two, but we also have accelerometer data. So this is how much you move as well. So we're building our algorithms, for example, that can tell whether you're standing up or whether you're upright or not. And that is a super powerful way to measure these conditions. There's the Bateman Horne Center in the US that has done a bunch of research into ME-CFS in particular, has shown that time spent upright is a really good proxy for illness severity. And so we're all trying to figure out, you know, what is mild, what is moderate, what is severe. Trying to put objective numbers behind that is really important. And that's what's needed for better treatment and for better clinical trials, so to get better outcomes. We've got to get much better at measuring these conditions. You know, that classic phrase, what gets measured gets managed.
Yeah, I love that phrase. I'm a very, very big believer in that phrase as well. And so I guess, like, I'm just listening to you speak and you're talking about algorithms and really big words and fancy stuff. Like, how does someone, especially when someone like yourself, you're not very well, you've had this illness experience, how do you even get into kind of all of this like technical side of things? I'm so curious to really understand like how this vision was born.
Yeah. So, I mean, my background isn't in healthcare. It wasn't in healthcare initially. It was in actually Formula One of all places. So I used to be a design engineer there. And then I worked in San Francisco at very early stage companies, designing, scaling up, like electronic products, micromobility scooters, things like that. So had a very strong background in engineering and maths, really put the pieces together around this condition, because what I saw from my own condition was, you know, I was a couple of weeks in to getting sick, and it was starting to dawn on me that I wasn't going to get better tomorrow. And so knowing that, I wanted to buy something that was going to help me stay motivated over the couple of weeks or couple of months I had to get my health back. Certainly didn't expect it to be a couple of years. I was looking for, and honestly, I Googled like illness tracker, expecting to find something like Garmin Fitbit, but designed for illness, and I couldn't find it. Anyway, landed on getting a fitness tracker anyway. And through that, saw that my heart rate was doing really strange stuff. And I was able to see trends in it. You know, when I stood up, I could see that my heart rate was going up much higher than it should have. And so I used that to convince my doctor at the time, who initially diagnosed me with anxiety, that there was actually something more serious that was going on. And using that data, I was able to get my condition taken more seriously. So that was like the first, sort of my first thought that I was like, wow, there's something really powerful here. And then, you know, fast forward a couple of weeks, I'm trying to, you know, classically, as most people do when they first get this condition, is exercise their way out of it. And I actually found that I was, through patterns, I was making myself much worse. I could see I was doing more, and the next day I was doing way less. And I was in this classic boom and bust cycle. So then I was using my fitness tracker to try and manage my condition, to try and figure out what the right level of activity is. So my engineering brain was putting the pieces together there and being like, I shouldn't be doing the mental gymnastics here. You know, the fitness trackers have all these ability to pull out these insights and this guidance. Like, why is this not being applied to these conditions? And so, like, maybe like a more specific example that might be quite interesting, the NASA lean test, or this test for POTS that is often used, where we get people to lie down, we take their heart rate every minute, and then we get them to stand up for a couple of minutes, and we see their heart rate typically rise quite significantly. And measuring at different time points and putting together sort of a graph of that that change. Obviously, with wearable data, we're automatically measuring your heart rate anyway. passively in the background. And because of the accelerometer data, or this data that can pick up movement, we can tell if you're lying down or if you're standing up. And so we're able to calculate, when is that happening? When are you lying down? When are you standing up? And then we're able to see like what your heart rate is when you're lying down, what it is when you're standing up. And that's allowing us to generate, to do a calculation that can give us a number that shows how dysfunctional your autonomic nervous system is. So that's when I talk about algorithms, really we're talking just about calculations, about looking at this data and turning it into stuff that is useful to someone that is using Visible.
Yeah, it's so interesting. I love hearing you talk more about this. And I obviously read through the Visible website in preparation for our interview today, but having you talk about it is so much better. So what I'm understanding from what you've said is you can have some sort of other type of fitness tracker. Like, you know, I have a watch that I wear and it measures my heart rate all day long, but it's not necessarily telling me you're standing up and your heart rate is this, and you're lying down and your heart rate is this. But it sounds like what you're saying is that the Visible tracker is able to kind of give you that more specific data so that you can track those other variables instead of me looking at my watch and going, what was I doing then? Was I?
Yeah.
Was
or what is, or what does that mean? Or yeah, exactly. So really thinking about this data in the context of illness rather than fitness.
Yeah. And you mentioned as well that you noticed that you noticed a specific trend, you know, when you were standing, your heart rate was higher, when you were lying down, your heart rate was lower. Have you noticed any other trends specifically in your case that have been helpful for you?
Yeah. So heart rate variability is, like, we talk about that quite a lot, Visible, and it's built into a lot of what we do. And I can definitely speak a bit more about what that phrase even means, if that's helpful. But the ability to see this change in my heart rate variability each morning that coincided with my symptom severity was really eye-opening. So I could see an objective number that showed me that there was something that was wrong today. And it could show me that on other days, it gave me that validation that things were going a bit better. And then I was starting to see that also coincide with how the rest of the day was going. We're actually doing some really exciting research on this with David Petrino to look at this correlation or predictive ability for certain biometrics to, so when I talk about biometrics, I mean resting heart rate variability, to predict the onset of a crash, of a worsening of symptoms, and then being able to use that to manage the condition. So if you know you're doing, you know, today you're a higher percentage chance of having a crash, to take it a little bit easier.
And we had a chat before we scheduled the interview and we talked about something that you mentioned, which is the stability score.
Yes.
So is what you've just mentioned now related to the stability score, or is that something
exactly
different?
So the stability score, this is something that we do each morning in the app, and it takes a more detailed 60-second reading of your biometrics, of your heart rate and your heart rate variability. And we take it in the morning because heart rate variability is a really sensitive stressor, a really sensitive metric. And so if you have stresses like cognitive, physical, emotional, ongoing, it can really cause that to fluctuate quite significantly. And then it becomes a less useful indicator. Great thing about doing it first thing in the morning is we get the most stable or sort of controlled environment in which to take that reading. And then over time, we can build up a picture of your illness, like how much are these biometrics fluctuating? How low are they? How high are they? Because what we see in the data is that generally a lower heart rate variability is associated with a worsening of symptoms. But I think importantly, and this is often missed, and one of the reasons why we called it stability score, is that a stable heart rate variability over time correlates with an improvement in health. And so what you're classically looking for in this reading is for your heart rate variability to be stable, so similar to the results you've had over the last couple of days, weeks, months, and for it to be a little bit higher as a nice bonus. So that's kind of the picture. So what we do with the stability score is we boil that down. So rather than you having to look at your resting heart rate and be like, what was my average over the last 90 days? And what about my resting heart rate? And what about my heart rate? Like, we can help build that picture for you and put it in a simple score to help you understand it. we actually have the ability to do that with the wearable, but because it's a 60-second reading, we also have the ability to do that with a free app. And we have this really cool technology that uses your smartphone camera that, by putting your finger on the lens of your camera, our app can pick up small fluctuations in the color of your fingertip, and we can translate that into heartbeats, which we can then translate into heart rate variability and resting heart rate. So for the free app, you actually don't need the wearable to get this stability score that we have. For all the other management stuff, the real-time pacing notifications, obviously we do need the wearable. We need that all-day data, but it is possible to still get a good insight on your illness, even just using your smartphone.
I've got so many questions and my brain is just going off in a million different directions. But I guess what I wanted to say was that when I first became ill myself with chronic fatigue syndrome, I used the Elite HRV app, and I think you use some of their technology with Visible. And I used to have to, I had one of those polar chest straps. And so like I would get up every morning and I would put on my like polar chest strap, and you have to like wait it a little bit, which means like you have to get out of bed to get the water, to wait it and then put it on and then rest.
And it just messes all your results.
And also it's about 50 or 60 pounds just for the chest strap, which, you know, over the context of several years is not that much money, but people with chronic illness, obviously, you know, finances can often be a concern. So when I tried out your app, and then I was like, oh my God, I never knew that you could just do exactly the same with just your finger over your camera. I thought that was like absolutely incredible. And I think it's really, really great feature for people to know about, because it is, as you say, 100% free. Obviously, there are other paid features with the app that I'll get you to talk about in a moment.
Yeah.
You know, just for anyone listening to this to at least download the app and then try. Just because I'm just too simple. I thought it was just really cool that you could do it through the camera on your phone.
Absolutely. And it was always really important to us that we were able to offer something that was free to the whole community, because we know that not everyone has enough financial position to be able to pay for a monthly subscription for our wearable membership. Like, our long-term goal with Visible is to make it free in the UK and on the NHS in the US, covered by insurers. But it is a long road to get there. You know, this is going to take a couple of years of building up the evidence base to prove the effectiveness of Visible and how useful it is. And so in the meantime, we don't want to, you know, hide that away from people, because we want to put it out there. And unfortunately, because there is, you know, a hardware cost, like, we do have to charge for it. But I'm really excited that we have the free app that we can offer. And, you know, to your point around the polar chest strap, it's a fantastic device. It's absolutely the gold standard in recording heart rate variability, but it is not very comfortable to wear. You know, it fits around your chest. It takes a lot of effort to put on each morning. And actually, with the free app, we can do the same thing that the chest strap does to 96% accuracy. So you're getting very close to the same results, exactly. And then, you know, that nicely leads me into the wearable that we use. So we specifically integrate with a polar device as well, but we don't use the chest strap. Chest strap is very accurate, but very uncomfortable. And then down at the wrist, you're losing quite a bit of that accuracy, but it is much more comfortable. Where we've landed is in the middle between these two, and this is with an upper arm band. And that gives us really accurate data and is still comfortable to wear all day, which is what's needed for this all-day pacing guidance.
I really want to come back to the stability score, but I'm going to follow the track that we're on right now. And so just say when you have the arm strap, that's part of the paid membership, because you have the wearable device. And what are the additional features that come with the paid membership?
Yeah, so the paid membership, big focus on pacing. So we have the ability to provide almost like spoons, like we typically talk about, but that's built into the app as pace points. So we have the ability to sort of measure your energy over the course of the day. And that's based on your heart rate, and also based on the research that, like, the Workwell Foundation have done in the US, who do a lot of cardiopulmonary exercise tests on people with ME. And what they've shown is that there is this threshold, like your anaerobic threshold, where your body moves from taking up oxygen to generate energy, to taking up glucose to generate energy. And there is roughly for most people a threshold, you know, it's often talked about as a very like hard line. It's much softer like transition into that, but you can set a heart rate threshold in the app. But then if you cross over or you spend a certain amount of time in, we're able to tell you in real time to slow down. Because obviously, as most people will know, like there's a real delay between doing, like exerting yourself and then the result of that being post-exertional malaise. And that's that long feedback loop that makes it really difficult. And what we can do with that wearable data is we can shorten that feedback loop massively. So we're telling you in the moment if you're doing too much. So that's the main feature. We also have some exciting other features. We're building in the ability to do resonant breathing, coherent breathing within the app. You know, there's a lot of research to show that that's really good in like rehabilitating your autonomic nervous system. And we have this really high accuracy heart rate variability data that we can use to guide these breathing exercises and really demonstrate to people that your breathing has a really big impact on your nervous system. And we can show that there's physiological changes using wearable data. So we'll be really excited to launch that in the next 2 months. And so that will be available alongside the pacing. The real-time notifications for pacing are both based on your anaerobic threshold, but we also have a feature that is similar to, maybe your banking apps or your finance apps, where you can, in those apps, it lets you understand if you're on track to go over your monthly budget or you'll go under it. And we have similar sort of user interface. But we, instead of thinking about money and over the course of a month, we think about energy over the course of the day. So we're then able to tell you, like, are you doing too much in the morning? You need to slow down, really help you balance out that exertion. So I think the best way to sort of think about what we do with pacing is like we help balance rest and activity, and we help you avoid this overexertion that can trigger these symptom flare-ups.
It's just, I think back to my own journey and how badly I used to pace in the beginning, because unless you've had to kind of deal with anything like this before, you are very much completely unaware. It's, you know, I kind of went down the route of sort of doing lots of dietary changes and taking lots of supplements but was repeatedly in this kind of boom and bust cycle It was probably not on a daily basis, but kind of like on a weekly basis, where kind of things would build up and then I'd have a crash and then I'd have a few bad days and then build myself back up. And then the next week, same pattern would happen again. For people who are obviously, nobody wants to go through, these conditions, but for people who are now experiencing this, just to have this technology available, it just sounds like such an incredible asset to people's recovery. I think, we chatted before we organized the recording and I was saying like, I really, really believe that pacing is so important. I just don't think people can get better unless they're pacing. And we can have best intentions, even if we know we should pace, but to actually have some data, at least I'm a very data-driven person. So when there's data and I can see in black and white, you've done X, now you need to do Y, or you've spent your budget, so to speak, I think it does just create that incentive, maybe because I'm quite competitive with myself. So it's like, I don't want to fail at, running out of my energy budget for the day or whatever it might be. But I just think it can be so helpful to people who are especially struggling with the pacing side of things.
Totally. And it's, we all have this mental model, I guess, before we get sick, where you just push and you push and you push. And we really need to switch that up with these conditions. It's a different mental model around your energy and how you should manage it. We can help frame that with visible in real numbers. I think that's really important. I think there's like sometimes it's really difficult for patients. They're sort of sent away, roughly told this is your energy envelope and try and stay below it. But what does that actually mean? How can you measure it? How can you figure out if you're doing too much? And I think there's just an incredible opportunity with wearable technology to use it. I really couldn't think of a better application for wearable technology than long-term fluctuating chronic illnesses, where the pain is so high, the motivation is so high, the signals that we get through the technology is so much stronger than in healthy people. And the data is so much more actionable. So across the board, it is a really great use case for this. So we still have so much work to do with Visible. I mean, this is very much version one. But you know, over the course of the next 6 months, we'll be launching two algorithms that use machine learning, so use AI that take into account this incredible data set we've built up with 60,000 plus users to be able to give you guidance that is much more tailored individually to you. You know, help setting your anaerobic threshold and help better predicting if you're on track to be in a crash. So I'm really excited about the ability to improve Visible even from what it is right now. And then also to come back to your other point around like the importance of pacing. There's still so much we don't know about these conditions. And I try to hang on to what are the universal truths. You know, we know good diet is really important. We know good sleep is really important. We also know good activity management is one of the most important things. And with wearable technology, we have the ability to help manage that and really become that foundational layer that then, even if you are making changes to your sleep or your diet, like because we can measure it, we'll be able to give you guidance around that in the future.
Yeah, I mean, I've noticed with clients that, you know, when they make changes to their diet and their diet essentially becomes less inflammatory, more anti-inflammatory, that they'll notice changes in their HRV across the board. And just also more, you know, better balanced blood sugar. I know from tracking my own, if I eat too much sugar, which I do avoid to do, but I am human, so it does happen from time to time, then I'll notice like my HRV will just like plummet after a meal. So I've also have found the HRV tracking data really helpful for me working out like the right balance with my food as well, which has been really great. I was curious if you're doing much research around the menstrual cycles. This is me sort of circling back to the stability score with a little personal anecdote, because what I would notice was that at the beginning of my cycle, so when I started menstruating, my heart rate would go right down and my heart rate variability would go right up. And I would go, oh my gosh, look how low my heart rate is. Look how high my heart rate variability is. I must have so much more capacity today to do X, Y, and Z. But that was never the case. I always used to feel the worst at those times. Mm. The way that I understood it was, and my body was almost going so much into the parasympathetic side of things that it was almost like it was applying the brakes. It was like, we need you to really slow down and stop. But I never really understood it until we had a conversation and you explained this idea of stability. And it's not about being very high or being very low. It's about the deviation from the norm, which is then it's showing an instability in the system. And I always say like syndromal conditions are very unstable systems. And so the kind of hormonal changes that a woman might experience with her cycle are creating another layer of instability physiologically that we can then see in the data. And I'm just curious, maybe I've thrown you under the bus a little bit here, but how much you've kind of looked at that so far with the technology, because it sounds like you're looking at so many different things.
Yeah, so we are absolutely looking at that. And I think you're spot on to notice this very high sudden change in heart rate variability. I think often people look at that and be like, oh, that's great, good news. I'm like, not always. If you have the additional context, it can be actually showing this instability. And that's why, you know, earlier I mentioned that I think starting with stability as being the thing that you really focused on, the slightly higher HRV or generally higher HRV is a nice to have as bonus, but it's definitely not the whole picture. And that is something that we've built into our first iteration on the stability score, but we have a much more powerful score coming soon, which we're really excited. And there'll be a research paper published alongside that, and they'll be coming out in the next few months. On the menstrual cycle in particular, we absolutely see in the data that across the population, that generally earlier in the cycle, before the menstruation cycle starts, that's where we see a peak in symptoms and these changes. And so we're working with Imperial College London with a researcher called Vicky Mayo, immunologist there. And she will be looking at this data to publish these insights. Because I think as a community, we know that this has a massive impact on the illness, but it hasn't or isn't spoken enough about or really made it into peer-reviewed journals as much as it should have. And I hope that from us, you know, building this visibility around aspects of these conditions, we can help drive change, drive more research to get into, to come, researchers to come into the space and look at what's going on and hopefully find some interesting answers. There's a pattern of hormones throughout the menstrual cycle that fluctuate. And so if we can figure out what time and cycle you're seeing this change in symptoms, we can tie that to a certain hormone. And can that lead to treatment? Like, what does the impact of contraceptives look like on people's symptoms? All these questions that we have this longitudinal data set in the app, and we're able to do that. And so the Visible team is, over half of us have, you know, one of these conditions. We're very motivated by increasing our understanding of these conditions. So everything we do, we have like research in the back of our mind, like how can we partner with a researcher to better understand this aspect? And that's one of the first studies that we did was around menstrual cycle, and the one that I was most excited about, because I think that's where we're going to see some really exciting insights that could help with the trajectory of treatment and research.
There's a lot of women out there who will really appreciate that. I did a post this week on my Instagram account looking at cyclical crashes in the menstrual cycle, and we've had so many comments and so many questions and so many people wanting to understand more. So I definitely feel that there'll be a lot of people who are very grateful for your research. And I guess people can also help in contributing by getting the app and using the app and logging the data.
Absolutely. So the great thing about Visible is it's not just, you know, helpful for you in understanding your condition, but it can also be helpful in helping the researchers understand the condition. And we have a section in the app where if you want to, and I think it's important to emphasize that, like we give this as very much an opt-in feature, but if you want to opt in, you can share your data with specific researchers. So we have, for example, one study with Vicky Mayo at Imperial College London on the menstrual cycle. We have a study with David Petrino, who's looking at these patterns in heart rate variability and your biometrics. And then we have another study with the patient-led research collaborative looking at the impact of infections and reinfections on the conditions. And we'll be adding more and more there, but that's just like an example of how we're trying to build research into every aspect of what we do, so that we're really making the most of this data set and using this big data and the patient community to drive forwards the science.
You're doing such incredible work in the world. And one of the questions I was where do you see this heading in the future? And what are your goals long-term? But I think you've kind of been answering that as we've been going along. But is there anything else you want to add there?
I always like to make this point that with Visible, this is a really long journey for us. Like, we have many years ahead of us where we'll keep iterating, improving, developing the wearable technology, the app. What we have available right now, this is like our first generation, and each generation that or app release, it will get better and better. The algorithms will get smarter. We'll be able to better measure your condition, better understand it, provide better guidance. What we have right now is our version one, and we are super excited about the potential and the future of Visible to and what it can do and where it can go. And that means expanding to more health conditions. You know, right now we're very focused in a lot of our messaging around long COVID and ME/CFS. But really what we're building is useful to a lot of conditions where pushing yourself too hard can make you worse. And so we're in the process now of adding more conditions to the app so that we can support more and more people. You know, I spoke a bit about the importance of moving Visible towards a model where we're covered by insurers, by the NHS. We've got a long journey ahead of us. There's so much more that we can do on the algorithms we're providing, how accurate the pacing guidance is, how accurate the measurements are. So I'm very excited for the future. There's a long way for us to go. We're a very young company, but we are patient-led and we do listen. So, you know, if you are using the Visible app and you have any feedback, We have a help and feedback section. So please, like, leave our comments, leave your comments, your thoughts, like,
kindly.
Help us.
Leave kind
help
comments.
and help us build this platform. Like, we do want it to be a patient-powered platform. Most of us on the team have these conditions. And I think with the power of the community, we can really have a big impact here.
And something I wanted to just pick up on there, because you said you're expanding to more conditions. And, you know, something I often say to my clients when they get frustrated with things like pacing, I always say to them, like, pacing is a human need. Like, it's not just a need for people with chronic illness or specific chronic illnesses. As you've said, like, as human beings, we all need to go through our days and weeks and months and years with periods of activity and periods of rest. You know, we can't be on all the time. It's being on all the time that has usually been the cause of a lot of people ending up where they've ended up. And, you know, just because your friends or your family members can do like a million things, that doesn't actually mean that their health isn't suffering in some way. Because I see that with like my healthy friends who are like, tired, they're tired all the time, but I'm like, well, yes, look at what you're doing. You know, you might be healthy, but actually you're not thriving in terms of how you feel. And it can be sort of a bit of overdoing syndrome, which is happening. So I do really like what you said about expanding into other conditions. And I think something we spoke about as well is I think you said it's really important for your, like, one of your values is also not to say like, this is going to heal you, but it's very much about, this is something that's there to facilitate you being able to improve your quality of life.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's really important to think about the language that we use. And, you know, we don't talk about recovery really, like, that will obviously be the case for many people, but also it won't be the case for others. And so we talk about progress, and that's really what we're hoping we can help with Visible. And I think it is important in this space where, you know, there's still a lot that we don't know, that we keep that in mind, you know, even as we think about our pacing guidance, that there isn't a one size fits all for these conditions. And, you know, as much as possible, trying to stick with the universal truths and being very aware that there are other aspects of these conditions that just vary hugely from person to person. So, you know, we don't ever want to come across sounding like we know that we have the answer, but we really want to give you the tools to help you find those answers yourself.
To people who are listening to this today who've not heard of Visible, or maybe they've seen your Instagram ads, because I see your Instagram ads all the time, but they've never actually gone as far as downloading the app. Like, how do people get started? Would you just recommend they download the app and just start playing around? What's the best way?
Absolutely. So you can download the app. It's free of charge on the Google or the Apple App Store, and you can have a play, and that will give you a bit of insight into what Visible is about. You can start using the stability score, start to understand biometrics, the importance of the biometrics. And if you are finding that valuable, then you can think about the wearable membership, where we're moving from a 60-second window with the free app to all-day data and passive data. It's significantly easier to use the wearable than it is to, you know, put your finger on a camera every morning. That would be the best journey for someone, and to give someone the most confidence moving into the wearable membership.
Yeah. And just to say as well that, like, in my own journey, obviously Visible was not non-existent when I started my journey, but I went from using a device, as I described, to do like a morning reading and then getting a watch that would help me do like continuous all day tracking. And I really do think having that continuous all day tracking was significantly important in terms of my own pacing. So yeah, if people can afford it, definitely upgrading to the paid membership. I would just say it can be really, really valuable to have that continuous data throughout the day. And how are you getting on in your own journey?
So I'm doing much better. And it really took me a year to get to a place where I was well enough to be able to start Visible. And yeah, sometimes joke, you know, I'm well enough to be able to work, but in some ways sick enough to be extremely motivated to want to move the science forwards and keep going and keep building Visible into what can be, you know, really, and really build like the best tools possible for these conditions. So yeah, it's up and down still, but slow glacial improvements.
Yeah. And, you know, I often feel like sometimes people can have this illness event, which is obviously incredibly painful to go through, but it can also bring with it a sense of purpose and change the trajectory of your life in a way, if you can really like harness the power of that pain and turn it into something meaningful. And it feels like that's exactly what you've done with Visible, and the community is very, very fortunate to have someone like you in the world.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, someone like you specifically.
No, I appreciate that. And I think it's, yeah, it's, I think it's worth everyone thinking like, how can we move the research forwards all in our own little ways? Because I think, you know, as much as we're building a digital solution, the real solutions are going to come from the biomedical research. And so we think a lot about how we can help with that. You know, whether that's, you know, signing up to clinical studies, taking part in trials, providing data to researchers, supporting them on social media, donating money to them. I think there are lots of ways to support that research. And yeah, something I'm very motivated to try and encourage people to get involved in, because we have an opportunity here to help so many people.
Yeah. Oh, it's been absolutely wonderful. Thank you so much for your time and, most importantly, your energy, because I know how precious that is. I really hope that people listening to this will all go and get the Visible app, at least the free one, give it a try, hopefully get some useful insights for their own journey, but then also contribute to that data pool that you're continuously collecting. It's been such a pleasure, Harry, and I wish you all the best, and I can't wait to see how this continues to progress in the future.
Thank you very much, Anna. Fantastic to chat.